Are we live?
We always it always takes me forever to start because Daniel always says
it's
something.
My job to prolong this process.
Yeah, you always do it.
Now listening to the Duo Sports and Stuff Podcast. Here are your hosts, Deontay Epps and Dane Beasley.
Episode 46 of the Duo Sports and Stuff Podcast, powered by Blue Wire Hustle. My name is Deontay Epps, joined by Dane Beasley. And Dane, we have another guest, my guy Colin, sports reporter for KTSM in El Paso. My guy, how are you doing?
I'm doing good, man. Happy to be here. Thanks for having me on. I listen to you guys all the time, so it's cool to finally be a part of it.
Yes.
So we've known Deontay for, we just figured out, like 6 years now, so yeah. Finally getting to meet Dane.
Yeah.
Good. It's the start of a long friendship.
Yes, most definitely. Most definitely. Appreciate you coming on, bro, especially, I know the sports reporter life, you're in between newscasts right now, so definitely appreciate you coming on such short notice, because I literally text Colin last night and I'm like, bro, can you come on? Because, we're going to talk a little bit of NBA playoffs and a bunch of other topics. But before we get to that, I want to let you know to please subscribe to us if you haven't already and give us 5 stars and a great rating on Apple Podcasts so people can get their ears and listen to the Duo. On tap for today, Dane and Colin. Ooh. We will talk NBA playoffs, game one, the Young Guns coming out strong for game one, man. I tell you first, before we get into everything else, I can't remember a time where I was like glued to my seat. Like, the playoffs are always exciting for me, especially mm-hmm. with the bubble. But this particular time, like, I didn't want to get up because I was afraid I was going to miss something. Like, we had, and I think it's because, like, we see new faces like mm-hmm. on their, and doing their playoff debuts, balling out, and it was incredible to watch. So we'll talk a little bit about that. Also, we're going to get into some great news. Well, not great, great for us media people, because we got something to talk about. Shannon Sharpe and Julio Jones, that thing that happened on Undisputed. we'll see. We'll get a little bit into that Julio talk, as well as. Thanks to Colin. Colin, I saw you retweet this earlier, the Texas House approving that NIL bill for college athletes. We'll get into that.
I made my newscast today, so I can talk about it a little bit.
Yes, yes. I appreciate you, man. And then we'll talk about a Texas recruit, high school football recruit, that is going to skip out on his senior season of high school before heading to play college football. And then we'll close it out with our Notre News segment talking about the Eternals trailer that dropped today. Dane, did you watch the trailer? Because last time you didn't watch the trailer.
Look, man, I was working hard last time. Not to say I wasn't working hard today, but I was working hard enough. And I said, wait a minute, why is Eternals trending? So I clicked on there. I was like, oh, I'm not watching this on crappy Twitter. I'm going to the YouTube, watching it in that 4K. And I watched. I was like, okay, this is great. And then I hopped back on a few hours later. I was like, why is everybody pissed off? But that's a topic for another time.
Yeah, so, we'll get to that a little later. Yeah. But I think we had talked about Dane on a couple of episodes ago. We haven't really talked about the NBA playoffs, and I kind of felt like, or the NBA in general,
right,
this, like the last couple of episodes. And I kind of felt like this season, if you're not like a crazy avid basketball fan, like, you know, most people are that enjoy it. Mm-hmm. I kind of felt like, I'll just wait for the playoffs. And I think it's because
this is the Sports and Stuff Podcast, right?
I know. It's bad. Let me explain.
This is all your fault. Everybody's listening to Deontay's fault. I had nothing to do with
it. I know this. I'm supposed to be on top of it, but let me explain basketball. And see if people can. I love basketball too. It's not like I don't, but I'll explain why. I think I was overwhelmed by everything that happened in the bubble. Not saying it was a bad experience. I enjoyed the playoffs, but that short off season, and when it came back, I was just like, dang, okay. It was still football season at that point. And I was like, all right, it was more like, I'll put it off until the playoffs when, you know, it really gets down to the nitty gritty. And I think that short off season kind of made me feel some type of way. Is that weird?
No, I kind of felt the same. I kind of did what I did with, like, always do with baseball, because, like, mm-hmm. baseball season starts and I'm locked in for like a day, maybe a week at most. Like I'm watching it, and then I'm like, all right, there's 162 of these things. So I like tune out, and then if the Rockies, I'm a Rockies fan. The Rockies are good. I'm like in it from like June on, whenever NBA playoffs are typically over. But if they're bad, which they're really bad, I don't even tune in again until the playoffs. So that's basically, I was a little bit like that this year. I still watched the Nuggets a lot, but I definitely didn't watch like as much just overall NBA this year as I have in years past. I think it's for the exact same reasons as you said.
Yeah. And then Jamal Murray taking that blow too kind of sucks for you guys, man. I didn't want to tell you this, Colin, and Dane will probably hop in and laugh at me for this, but
I'm ready.
The day Colin's gonna hate me. The day that Jamal Murray got hurt, bro, I was wearing the Nuggets shirt. You got me.
It's all right. It's not your fault.
I knew he's gonna say it.
You willed this to happen. Wow.
So this works for football.
This works for football. Anytime you watch a particular team playing, it's fine. But if it's basketball, wow, stay away from anything that has anything to do with Lakers apparel. Because
I don't own any Lakers apparel, so you're good on
that
one.
Keep that way, young man. Wow.
I am a Mavs fan, so I have a Mavs hat up here on my wall, but I refuse to wear it because I jinxed Jamal Murray and the Nuggets. So. Obviously. I almost put it on because we're talking NBA playoffs, but I'm like, nah, it's going to stay on the wall.
He's already hurt, so it's,
It's done. But
it was so fun to watch last year. It was so fun to watch last year.
Oh, yeah, Jamal Murray went off, bro.
He was so fun to watch last year.
He just goes to another level in the postseason.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Speed another level, man. The young guys, of course, right now the Bucks are playing the Heat as we're talking. And last time I checked, they were up by like 30. Probably still the case. But last night, yesterday, or over the weekend, the young guys doing their playoff debuts, man. Trae Young, Ja Morant, Dylan Brooks, Devin Booker, DeAndre Ayton going off, man. Like the it was incredible. And I'll give it to you guys after this. But what captivated me the most, man, was with everything that was going with everything that's gone on with COVID and, you know, protocols, the league shutting down and then not having fans and then slowly bringing fans back. The atmosphere at MSG was insane. I think that was probably why it was my favorite game to watch over the weekend. Of course, the teams going back and forth, going bucket for bucket. Trae Young, Derrick Rose, Julius Randle, all of those guys. But man, Trae Young, man, he went crazy. He was second player over the past 25 years with the go-ahead field goal in the final 10 seconds of the fourth quarter overtime in a playoff debut. And he is the fourth player in NBA history with 30 points and 10 assists in a playoff debut, joining Derrick Rose, LeBron, and Chris Paul. He's definitely he proved himself along with these other guys, man. What y'all think?
I think more than anything, I was talking to Deontay, telling him this probably was going to be the hardest part to talk about because there's so many interesting storylines that we can refer to. But some podcasts ago, a while ago, we talked about how the NBA is going to be in good hands with these young guys. And over the last few days, specifically the last 72 hours, we've seen firsthand just how well we're going to be okay. After, you know, all our big guys leave, our all-stars leave, your KDs, your Stephs, your LeBrons, after they're gone, the league is going to be in good hands because of what we saw. And honestly, I'm going to cop out. I'm going to cop out and say I can't pick a particular person or particular player that I'm looking forward to watching the most. Deontay. But I'm just going to enjoy it. But my team got a championship this last season. So I'm just right now, I'm just kind of soaking it all in. I'm just enjoying some good basketball.
Yeah. Are you kind of in the mood where like, your team won last year, Lakers fan, you know, you're like kind of big chilling, like, man, if we go win another one, that'll be icing on the cake that I'm already eating.
More so because I needed to offset the fact that I'm a Cowboys fan. We're probably not going to see anything for a long time. So Lakers just keep on stacking up them ships. And then, you know, the Cowboys do what they do, blow it in the final game of the season. And, you know, and we're back here talking.
Lakers fans have it tough, man. You know, you got to. Gotta wait 10 years between titles.
And yep.
It's rough for you guys. I mean, never win anything. Yeah.
It's always a story. It's like a lovely storyline, like especially when you get players that are supposed to be like, he's the next best guy. And then, of course, Julius Randle's gone.
You know what's funny, Dane? And I'll get to you, Colin. I know I had to get this joke off on Dane because he'll definitely agree. Man, Dane, to catch you up, Colin, Dane feels a certain way about LeBron in the past. Like when, you know, not like he hates him, but, you know.
So 100% authentic. My hate for his stannery. Like he has fans, some super fans.
It was mainly his fans.
LeBron fans.
I know Dane's going to agree with me when... Like, man, come on, LeBron, with the extra, the Oscar winning.
Look, I thought he was going to come. Like the jokes that were flying, I thought he was going to come in with the Wilt Chamberlain goggles after he got poked in the eye. I was like, come on,
hey, bro. He was seeing three rims, man.
Yeah, I'm like, bro, shut your lying ass up, please.
Okay, that and like, did y'all see when KD bounced off the floor in the Celtics game?
I thought he was dead.
Like he bounced off the floor like on a trampoline.
His arm was like it took most of the impact. So I was like, oh snap! When his arm came back, I was like, oh, it's definitely broke. Because you know when you see the freak accidents and their legs and it does a little flopping motion. Like I thought that was it. But
he bounced off like a trampoline, but like got up really quick and then like LeBron, like he's like like 260.
I was gonna say we talked about this like. You and I did like two or three weeks ago over text, like because you said it was funny because he sent the GIF of LeBron about when he won his first about damn time, and I said he always has something planned to say after he wins a championship. It's like it's about damn time, Cleveland. This is for you. I want my respect too. He always has something like it's clearly planned out.
Yep.
And I just like, this is just another aspect of that. Like, and I love the guy. I'm close to LeBron stan. It's hard for me right now because I'm not a Lakers fan, but I love LeBron. But it's just like, dude, why do you have to do these things? You're already the second best player ever.
It's like that like, one cousin.
You don't have to do this.
It's like that one cousin and like the fake pass out at like a family event. Like, come on, bro. Like, you're taking the table. Like, really? Come on. Come on.
That's crazy, man.
At what point do you grow out of that? But I mean, this man's about to be 40 in a few
36,
years.
And so
he's like,
hey, man, it's who he is at this point, man. You just got to give him the Oscar, give him the award for it.
Right.
We'll see after Space Jam.
Yeah, man. But Colin, anything that caught your eye over the first two games over the weekend or Saturday and Sunday game ones?
I was going to say you two guys that you brought up, Booker and Brooks. Dylan Brooks. I mean, Booker, I've not, like, as a guy, I've always respected his talent, but I've always, he's one of those
Oregon.
Guys. What's that?
I said Oregon.
Brooks. Yeah, that's my guy. But Booker, dude, he's like, he's always been a guy, like, I respect his talent a lot, but he just, you're always just like, why aren't you doing more? Why aren't you taking this team? Like, because even like before they got CP3, like that wasn't a bad roster.
Right.
And it was just kind of like, why aren't you doing more with this team that you have? But to see him like finally, like CP3 obviously takes a lot of pressure off of him, like handles point more. And just to see him just be able to like do what he does best, which is just score the hell out of the ball. Like it was impressive. Like I was honestly like happy for him yesterday. And then Brooks, like my guy from Oregon, obviously as a Duck, like I was thinking about this too. Is he Marcus Smart with the jump shot?
Bro, he might be. And you know
that's
what?
A good comparison.
Because you know, he mentioned it yesterday when he talked to the inside the NBA crew after the game. I listened to the little interview. He was talking about getting to his spot, which he was hitting a lot of mid-range jumpers, which is of course a lost art right now with everybody trying to imitate Steph and Dame and all those guys that shoot threes from half court. But seeing, you know, I think I was listening to Bomani Jones on a podcast maybe a few episodes ago, and he's talking about bringing the mid-range back. Well, he was actually talking about bringing post-game back, like old Tim Duncan, but I don't know. I wouldn't take it that far, but mid-range specialists, like, you know, that's like one of the key areas like that is unnoticed. Yeah, Jamal Murray, you know.
That's why it's so effective for Jamal, too, is because, he obviously can shoot threes, but it's so, like, I'm either going to shoot threes or I'm going to get to the rim now that he's like, he can get into that area and like, I mean, just kill people.
Yeah.
So yeah, Brooks is obviously not that good. But
yeah, he had one of those games like put. I mean,
if,
like you said, you followed him at Oregon a lot, and he led you guys to the Final Four. But one of those games where, you know, he's he averaged like, I think, I don't put it in my notes, but I think he's averaged like 17 points this game or this season, and for him to come out and put up 30 plus points in this first playoff debut is crazy. But you mentioned Chris Paul, and of course, Chris Paul over the years has gotten a lot of gripe about, you know, complaining and the way he might be towards teammates as far as pushing them. But to me, and I'm asking y'all guys, like, I kind of feel bad for him. Like, seems like every time he has a team that could possibly make a run towards a title, it's something going on with his body. Like, what was it?
I thought it happened again yesterday.
Yeah, and then he has a shoulder issue, and he still looked kind of weird even after he came back. Like, is he cursed?
I don't know, man. He's what is he? 30? He's 36.
About the same age as LeBron. Yeah.
He's like a 6 foot point guard. So it's just like the margin of the margin, like an injury, something that like maybe obviously we just talk about like LeBron like faking injuries, but like he has been pretty durable over like the course of his career, like. A dude like that, as opposed to a 6 foot point guard, there's just the margin of like error in terms of like getting thrown to the floor. He can get a lot. Like, I just feel like he's more susceptible to injury just because he's smaller, obviously.
Yeah. And, so, you know, he takes a lot of hits, you know, going, hits the floor a lot going to. Yeah. But one last thing I want to talk about, my Mavericks. I don't have the hat on, but Luka. Can we talk about how Luka might own the Clippers? You know, we lost to them last year in that series, but coming out game one and giving a statement to these guys, like we were at a bar in Plano full of Mavericks fans. Of course, it was like one Clipper fan, but it felt like
poor guy.
He's the only one in the room. Everybody looking at him, you know, after every Clipper shot because he's cheering hard. But
he has to.
It felt like a game where, you know, a lot of the time you see the underdogs, their goal, and I was talking about this to a couple of my friends, a lot of the times the underdogs, when they're in a playoff series, you want to see them, or their goal is always to split the first two on the road. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for me, I feel like game one was incredible how they came out. And, you know, even the Clippers, when they made those runs, it was always a matter of, you know, containing the runs. You know, basketball is a game of runs. So they won the game. Don't be satisfied with that. Like, go out in game two. Don't be satisfied with, hey, we got game one. You know, if we lose this one, that's fine. Like, I feel like if Dallas really wants to win this series, they go out and win game two and put all of the pressure on LA heading back to Dallas for game three.
It's tough too, because I mean, because that is, like you said, it's like the mindset is just win one, and then it's the Clippers. Like, they're gonna come out desperate, you would think. I don't know. I mean, obviously in a perfect world, that's what they're going to do, but I don't know. I kind of see the Clippers coming out and getting it.
Yeah.
And maybe they start hot and then the Mavs are like, all right, well, we got our win. So let's go home.
Exactly. Like, that'll be the turn of the tide. If they can, you know, come out in game two the same way they did in game one, as far as that goes. But yeah, man, I think for sure game one's like, seeing those young guys ball out. I think we talked about all of them. Ja Morant, and, you know, in back-to-back games, how he freaking destroyed the Warriors, you know, even fighting back against those Steph runs that always happens. But going out and winning game one, or the playing game versus Golden State, then backing that up with the win against Utah is incredible. Of course, Donovan Mitchell was out, but we'll see. It'll be interesting to see game two with him back in, how much that changes things, like, for sure. Switching to the NFL. Of course, some news happened. Like, I feel like when Dane and I go over the topics, it's like, especially in the NFL offseason, there's kind of like a time where, you know, a lot of stuff isn't happening because we're past the draft.
Desperation. I think that's the word you're looking for.
Yeah, we're past all that stuff. but we always get blessed with news right before we record. Like the day you're recording, something happens that morning, Colin, and then we're like, oh, I'm glad we recorded today. Let's talk about that.
And it's the notes.
Did you see what happened today with Julio and
yes.
Shannon?
Yeah, I watched it.
Okay, so I'm going to play a clip for those that have not heard it. This is what happened today on Fox Sports Undisputed.
We call? Okay, we are right, calling. We're calling.
I just keep...
You watching Julio?
I really hope he answers here.
Julio, have the guts to pick up the phone.
What's happening?
Yeah.
All right.
Julio.
Hold on. Let me put you on. Can you hear me?
I got you. This is your favorite uncle. What's going on, bro?
Man, nothing much. I'm about to go meet up with my brother. What's happening with you?
Man, look. You want to go to the Cowboys, Julio? Or you want to stay in Atlanta?
Oh, man. No, I'm out of there, man.
He's out of there. Are you going to... Ideally, where would you like to go?
Right now, I want to win.
Okay. Yeah. Well, don't go to Dallas. If you go to... You ain't winning in Dallas, Julio.
Man, listen, come on, man. You already know I know.
Okay.
Can you remind him we're on television?
Ask
right
him
now?
Why we wore the Dallas...
Listen, you know how people is, man, with all that going right. on with the picture?
Yeah.
And all that, stuff like that.
Okay.
Man, I ain't never been on that. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. That's good enough. Yeah. Julio, I'll talk to you later. Thanks for calling me back. We on air, but I appreciate you calling me, dog. You know I know my nephew is going to pick up.
Oh, yeah, nah. Yeah. I ain't going to Dallas, man. I never thought about going to Dallas.
Okay. I appreciate that, bro. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Now he might not have any choice.
I told you, man.
Colin, react.
Well, I'm so torn because it's either he had no idea that he was on or this was all a setup. It was him and Shannon set it up. Those are the only two situations because I don't think there's any like. And also, like, the fact that Shannon's like, hey, thanks for calling me back. No, dude, you called him. Live on TV. So that's, I don't know. I think that's the kind of, like, I feel like Shannon, like, slipped in a way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's maybe why it's, like, that has me thinking, okay, maybe it was a setup because they had this plan of, like, all right, I'm going to call you. You're not going to answer. And then you call me back. But Julio answered. And they just went. I don't know, man.
Yeah,
that's weird. How I feel. Those are the two scenarios that I think of. What is up?
Yeah, I'm gonna let Dane go after I go. I know. When I initially saw it, I was like, nah, this is not real. Like, I was like, there's no way that he knew he was live. Speaking of Julio, because Shannon had said something at the end, like we on the air or something like that. And then I thought I imagined it, but I felt like there was a pause from Julio right there. Like, oh, and then he kind of said something else. It was kind of hard to hear. But initially I was like, there's no way Julio knew he was live. And then my co-host Dane, before we were recording, had a theory.
Yes,
we got to get some theory music, like do 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 do.
Hit me with
my guy Dane has a theory on
the X-Files. The X-Files music.
If Keep is listening, he'll probably make something for you.
Keep needs you.
I know, right?
I absolutely love conspiracies, and I absolutely love the NFL. So when those two worlds combine, you get an NFL conspiracy. So here's the thing: I don't mind the honesty, right? The conversation might have been authentic, but them setting the call up, I definitely believe that was definitely in play. You got, you know, your agent or whoever convinced you to put on this cowboy sweater after your private workout with Amari Cooper. Cool. That's one thing that's cool. You up your bargaining price because the Cowboys are in the mix of it. That's fine. I understand that. That's just the way the world works in the offseason. That's cool. But to conveniently be available, The call, he picked up the call in less than like 15 or 20 seconds, and just the nature in which the conversation took place. And this is, at the end of the day, this is Uncle Shannon Sharp we're talking about here. This is the dramatic uncle. We know this is his steeds. And there's nothing more than he loves more than dragging the Cowboys on live TV. And he had the perfect opportunity to do so with the one Julio Jones, who's, I mean, who obviously be a number one receiver on many NFL teams right now. So I think it's fake. I think it's fake.
I don't put it past you or put it past them. But you know what's so weird about this? Everything that happened with the call, with everybody trying to figure out whether it was real, if he knew or not. Did y'all see that? What the Atlanta Falcons tweeted?
Oh,
they
wrote an article about it.
They wrote an article about that situation. And it's like the tweet says, in a call with Shannon Sharp, Julio Jones commented on his future in Atlanta. This is from the Atlanta Falcons Twitter account. And then you click on the article. And it's from AtlantaFalcons.com reporter Kelsey Conway. And it's like a whole story about the article and his comments from the general manager. It's like they were ESPN or NFL.com. It was weird. I've never seen something like this. And this kind of gaslights Dane's theory about it. I mean, and even Ian Rappaport, I think Adam Schefter tweeted something about Julio demanding the trade weeks ago or something like that, which could probably play in part of why they were have a whole statement about it and addressing it. From the general manager, we hold that player in high regard, pointing to the fact that we will answer calls on any players when teams ask about players and answer those calls on trades. It's just weird, man. It's like I've never seen a situation, and of course we're in 2021 now. Like I've learned to expect the unexpected with everything going on in social media and stuff, but I've never seen a team comment or like post about like an incident like this thing.
Good remark. You said post, and I want to bring attention to the post June 1, the post June 1 money that's associated with either cutting a player or trading a player. The Atlanta Falcons would save quite a bit of money in their dead cap if he is no longer on the team after June the 1st. So we'll probably see that come into play. More than anything, this might have just been a foreshadowing. We'll know more. We'll find out this time next week.
But are you saying like if they trade him after June 1st, they save a lot of money, or they got to do it before to save the money?
I think it's after, if I'm not mistaken.
No, it's after because the Packers are in the same situation if they decide to get off of Aaron Rodgers, where if they trade him after it's not as much of a hit on the salary cap. I'm not an analytics guy as far as NFL knows, but I remember reading that part.
We need a contract guy to come and talk to all of us how these conversations go. But
No, you're right though about Rodgers. Cause I remember when they were talking about like him maybe going to the Broncos, they were like, well, it probably won't happen until after June 1st. Because of some sort of contract stuff. So,
yes, Colin's a Broncos fan like myself. Dane, how you feel about that?
That's how we bonded initially.
Yes.
That's unfortunate.
Dane and I did. We got to tell the audience, Dane, we bought tickets. Cowboys versus Broncos in Dallas.
Peer pressure works.
November 7th.
Peer pressure works.
Was it November 7th?
Peer pressure. I think it was 7th or 6th, one of those two.
Whatever that Sunday is.
My brother, who also lives a life full of sin, is a Broncos fan.
Oh, he's a Broncos fan.
Peer pressured me into like, so are we going to go to the Cowboys game? I was like, nah, Jerry Jones isn't getting any more of my money. And he was like, well, how about I pay for the tickets and you just pay for my gas to drive over here because he's all the way in another state. So I was like, you know what? Fine, I'll go. I'll go with these two jerks sitting right next to me. I'm assuming.
But it'll be perfect.
It's going to come at a price.
We're going to get that dub, bro.
Y'all going to lose, and I'm going to be rocking two Dallas Cowboys jerseys.
That's the bet. Dane and I made a bet.
Yeah.
Do I have to buy one and wear it?
No. You got to buy me one, brother. Oh, no.
Okay. What was the initial?
We can renegotiate the terms of the bet.
Yeah, we'll put it on the table.
In my eyes, it was, if the Broncos win, Dane Beasley will buy you a jersey of your choice, Denver Broncos. I'm assuming Bradley Chubb or Von Miller, something like that, unless you already have one, or even Chuck Bailey, or whatever the case may be.
Hey, man.
In the case that the Cowboys somehow beat the Broncos, I will be, of course, sporting not one but two jerseys because I made the same bet for my brother. And my wife was like, what if the Cowboys lose? I was like, good idea. That brings us to the next point. All I have to do is just bet a bunch of money that the Cowboys are going to lose, and I'll break even. I'll break even.
Colin, you see the disrespect that I get about the Broncos from this guy?
You get it from me, too. And I'm like,
wait, you know what? Dane, this is funny. Dane, this is funny. You know how, like, Colin is like my leveler. Like, I'll get so high on Denver about something.
He'll bring you back down.
And he'll bring me back down. Like how you do the Cowboys.
I am a Colin fan.
I'll be like,
I am a fan.
No, Dane, the Super Bowl, the year they won the Super Bowl in 2015, that was like when we first became friends. We were like watching the Broncos. And he would get so excited. But like my mindset, it is fine. Obviously, it's fine to be excited. Yeah. But like my mindset going into games is always they're going to lose. So I'm not going to be excited.
Yeah.
So I'm like, not going to be excited. I'm just going to be like, they're going to lose. So like when they lose, you're like, oh, I knew they're going to lose anyways. But if they win, you're like, well, I'm super fired up.
Like, like that glass half full or half empty. Like that's Colin with the Broncos. I'm like, I'm not even half full. I'm like, tipping over.
Yeah.
Like, you gotta take stuff out of my glass.
You're one Oreo dip away from that mug just spilling
over. Bro, it's overflow. Facts. Yeah, like, I don't know what we're talking about one time, but I don't know. But it's, all the time, but it's good. I need that. I need that in my life. Like, I think we talked about the Rodgers thing, but it wasn't crazy. Like,
that could happen, though. That could realistically happen.
It could. But that thing, I'm honestly, like, tapering down my expectations on, because I feel like they're talking about it so much that I'm like, nah, it's not gonna happen.
I might have to change my mind about that, because what are the odds that you guys get two Hall of Fame quarterbacks within what, a decade of each other?
Yeah, man.
I mean, I'm not high on LA anymore, but like, if there's one thing that he could be good for, it's something like that.
Yeah,
because Denver believes. You know what? That's a good point.
That's one of the things. That's one of the things. Deontay was really high on Drew Lock, and I was like, I don't know about this guy. Yes. I don't know.
I like the upside. It's just
Friends still ask me. I think Reggie, shout out to Reggie Pitts. He was asking me not too long ago about what I felt about Drew Lock, and I'm like, I like him. I'm like, if the coaching staff, like, this is literally his last opportunity. If he does get traded, like, obviously, it looks like right now they're going to roll with him or Teddy. If he don't beat out Teddy, for sure he out of there. No disrespect to Teddy Bridgewater.
I'm going to cut you off for having a second. Here's the thing, though, and this is a bigger issue. Like, just because you have a quarterback or drafted a quarterback doesn't mean he's ready to play. Sometimes they have to sit for a little while, and with you guys forcing him into the – I mean, obviously, he might have been the best guy to – you know, the best guy to be under center at the time, but he might not have been ready
yet.
And – who's to say he's supposed to be the guy for some team in year five or year six, not in year two or year three? Like, you know, like, you know, this is my thought.
Well, the thing is that's true. And the thing, like, now is like when you see guys like Patrick Mahomes and last year, Justin Herbert, that are in our division and immediately in the starting lineup and just ball out. And then you look at Drew and he's like, he's in his going into his fourth year, right? Third. But yeah, like I think that's what is fueling it the most. Like, obviously, Patrick Mahomes is crazy on another level, but when Justin Herbert came in last year as a rookie and just lit it up for the Chargers, and we're looking at Drew, like, bruh, what you gonna do, man? You know? Man. And I think that was part of it. Like, you know, you even seen it in the draft with, you know, these guys getting drafted. Obviously in the first round, but teams are drafting them now, in my opinion, to play as soon as possible and play, you know, to a high level. So, I mean,
they're coming. Yeah, they need like a franchise savior, basically. I mean, crazy, if you swing and miss, you're the Jets, basically. Yeah. I mean,
yeah, sheesh. For sure. Ooh. And like for us, we have like, well, on paper, it looks like we can have one of those defenses that we had when we won the Super Bowl, and we won that with Peyton Manning at the very end of his play. Like, it was the worst version of Peyton Manning, you know, and we still won the Super Bowl. So I know a lot of people in Denver are feeling like it. And I feel like that as a fan, like if our defense is top five and we have like some legit kind of quarterback play, we got a chance. What do you think, Colin?
Yeah, no, I think that's fair. I mean, I don't disagree with anything that you said. I just don't think I just don't think Locke is the guy that is like, because he's – I don't know. I mean, even like obviously things didn't – they fell apart for Brock Osweiler after that. But he had a decent stretch that year. And he really did. And I don't even know that, like, yeah. And I don't even know that, like, is Drew Lock even, like, he's had games, but has he had, like, a stretch, like, season that was as decent as that Brock 5 or 6? Like, Brock, like, legitimately, they benched Peyton for
Brock.
And that's
been the bad thing for him, like, so far, like, consistency. Like, he'll have a game where, you know, he'll show flashes, or he might even have a good game from start to finish. And then, you know, you'll have a game or two later where he's it's all about consistency with him. And, like, of course, the teammates of his and are hyping him up like they're supposed to. You're not supposed to bring your quarterback down.
And they
so,
want to rock.
You know,
they do the right. same thing.
And then, I mean, even the ones on the defensive side of the ball, they're saying good things about him. And, you know, you want to do that when he's still on your team. So. Yeah, that was the Denver Power Hour right there.
Yeah, sorry about that.
I enjoyed it. It's a break away from talking about the Cowboys. Sorry, Cowboys.
The boys. It's switching over to college football, and I appreciate Colin for this one because I honestly have missed this. He retweeted it. The Texas House approves the NIL bill for athletes by overwhelming margin. To no surprise. And I'll just read this first two paragraphs. The Texas House on Sunday overwhelmingly approved a Senate bill that would allow college athletes in the state to earn compensation for use of their name, image, and likeness, paving the way for the legislation to reach the governor's desk this week. The House approved by a 117-27 vote Senate Bill 1385, authored by Brandon Creighton. Blah, 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 that is designed to keep the state in step with the nationwide movement by state legislators to allow student athletes to profit off their own names. So, Colin, since I got this story from you, well, you retweeted, I know you just ran it on the news. So, you know, you're making it easy for us. Yeah, he's used to it, man. So for our listeners, to help out our listeners, we broke it down a couple of times over episodes. What do you think this kind of means for the future of the NIL in college sports?
I think it's just, I mean, it's so interesting, right? Because it's like Texas, and if Abbott obviously has to sign the bill, but like, so if he's, it sounds like he's going to. So when that happens, they'll be the 17th state to do it. But it still seems like, it's like, okay, that's great, but the NCAA still doesn't allow it. So it's kind of like, okay, that's, you know, it's awesome. I think we're all probably in agreement. Like, this is like a good thing. Like, we want this to happen, but I just don't know. Like, until the NCAA like has that like hard line to like, okay, you guys, we're doing this. You have to do whatever it is. It's just kind of like, this is just kind of like stacking up, like an argument. It's like increasing the, you know what I mean? Like increasing the argument like for it. If you have so many different states, I mean, it's like, and it's like across like party lines too. It's like the people who are voting for this, like it's like Texas, sides. It's Florida, it's California. I mean, it's like an issue that a lot of people like on both sides of the line here, like are for. I think at some point it's going to be too much pressure for the NCAA and they're going to have to, it's going to happen. It's also one of those things too, like no offense to Danes, Sam Houston State Bearcats, but like, this isn't really how I've interpreted this is like, it's not really, it's not for like Sam Houston State Bearcats. It's not for UTEP. Like this is for like Sam Ellinger. And like, guys, like, am I misinterpreting that? Like,
no,
not to say that like Sam Houston State, like there's not like a diner in Huntsville that wouldn't have like, the blanking on the kid's name, the quarterback's name for Sam. Like, not saying like a diner in Huntsville like wouldn't do something with him, but this like to me, and maybe I could be completely wrong, but it seems like this is more for like the dudes who are at like Texas A&M, like the high level schools, to like that are like gonna for sure be in the NFL to like do that. I don't know. That's
no. I think that's fair. I just don't think anybody would want to say that. I don't think anybody would want to say that. I mean, that's a realistic take about it, because I mean, honestly, I mean, we talked about this. We touched on it on the Sam Houston episode last week. Like, you know, there really isn't like a line for 4- and 5-star athletes to be lining up to go to Sam Houston. That's okay. They're FCS school. But, you know, getting the exposure that they got from the winning the national championship, that might help them a little bit. But like, going back to the original point, this isn't, you know, this isn't for your smaller schools. This is for your bigger schools. This is for the likeliness, and nobody's going to see Schmidt walking down the street like, oh, you're that quarterback from Samuel State. You know, it's not going to go like that, unfortunately, but that's just the way that it works. You know, maybe yeah. that'll change when they go to the WAC.
I think it mentions in an article, like keeping up with like California and Florida, where a lot of big time athletes come out of, yeah. and, you know, Texas ADs are pushing like, hey, Texas, y'all need to get this hey, done man. Because we got to compete on like recruits. Keeping big time athletes and like want them to come here because we want to have the same advantages as a college in California, as a mm-hmm. college in Florida, you know, keeping up with everything that's going on with the NIL bills and laws. And like, it's only a matter of time, man. And I know Dane and I have mentioned it on a lot of episodes. And even when we had Jay Billis from ESPN come on and talk about the NCAA dropping the ball once again. Oh, yeah. And I think this is one of those instances where like they're dragging their feet. I think Mark Emmert has said something not too long ago about recommending it, you know, like pushing it towards the summer. Like, I feel like it's always been like a push it till, you know, we'll get to it kind of thing. Like, they've always been slow on these situations. Like, in this one in particular, like, they're losing more. Like, I don't know how much more respect they can lose. But at this point, it's just like, I feel like eventually, well, I don't know. But I think the NCAA is, like, behind the eight ball, kind of, like, way behind. And I don't know when it gets to a point where, or even how it works to where schools start to pull out of the incident. I don't know how all that works, but something has to change. And even, I mean, it's not going to happen anytime soon as far as the top of the NCAA, because they just extended Emmert, if I'm not mistaken, on his contract. So, yeah, man, it's just one of those things like Texas competing with those other states, obviously, because, you know, they got to compete with those other schools and the state of Texas, that is. No, but
funny thing. I'm sorry. Funny thing you said.
No,
that.
Go ahead.
Who the hell is going to be scared of playing any team in Texas? Like, let's be real. Let's talk football.
Oh, you're talking about just in general, the football teams? Oh, yeah.
Recruits,
Texas teams on the downside.
We going to be preventing, like, you know, like, I don't
well, think
Well,
you know, Texas always going to get the big 5-star and 4-star athletes. Right.
But, you know, the question still remains. There isn't a school in the state of Texas to be like, you know, yeah, we need to get this bill passed because UT, we're going to be losing, you know, half of our defense. You know, recruits are coming in.
Yeah. Like, UT ain't saying we defend the national champion.
Yeah, no.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, no. Yeah. And that's all shade intended. Like, Texas has been, we produce a lot of great athletes, but as a unit, as Texas schools, we need to see some, man. We need to see some. So, my bad. Back to you, Deontay. That made me laugh when you said Texas. I'm like, man, I'm not scared of us, man. Yeah. Unfortunately.
I mean,
basketball,
you know,
maybe,
Texas is always going to be one of those states, like, no matter how you slice it, whether the college teams are, you know, top of the nation or bottom, like, people are always, or top athletes are always going to want to go to Texas. If not signed there, they're going to be in their top five, top 10 schools. So, it's obvious, like, you know, the ADs, top ADs in the state are going to want to compete with the Floridas, the Californians. So, speaking of Texas, speaking of Texas, I don't know if you guys saw this story, man. It was interesting. I was listening to a radio show and it brought it to my attention. So I wanted to like read more into it.
All right.
This article is from ESPN. Number 82 recruit Jaden Blue to skip senior season of high school football to prepare for commitment to Texas Longhorns. ESPN 300 running back Jaden Blue, one of the top ranked running backs in the 2022 class, said he will sit out his senior season of high school football in 2021 to prepare for college. He's out of Klein Kane High School in Houston. He's a 5'10", 195-pound running back committed to Texas. I don't think I've ever seen this on a football level. I think, Dane, we had talked about the high school players, you know, leaving early and, you know, going straight to the league, or the what's it called, Colin? Is it the elite G League? What's the
G League? Yeah, G League. Yeah,
the elite, something like that.
Yeah, but then did you see there's like two basketball kids that were like, they're signed with like overtime, you know, like,
oh, the overtime elite.
Oh, overtime? No, overtime. Like this,
I missed
like,
that.
Oh, like that Twitter handle that takes people's videos and puts their own logo on it. Like, apparently they have a sorry,
they have a league too now, right?
Apparently, yeah. Apparently, you make $100K.
Is it the one with Oh, what's his name?
So that's why that article did.
It's new. I don't know that it's happened yet. I think it's like new, but like there are two top recruits that just signed to it.
Huh. There was somebody on Bomani Jones' podcast. I'm gonna look it up really quick.
That is cool. That's crazy.
And of course, for me, it always goes back to LeVar Ball, and I'd be seeing memes about LeVar Ball doing this because, like, his what he was thinking ahead of time. I'm not going to be able to find it, but I think I read or listened to a podcast about that league. But Jaden Blue, man, I don't think I've ever seen a high school football player jump or skip his senior year. What y'all think about that?
I mean, I'd spend more time when I read the article. I spent more time trying to shoot it down, like just trying to play devil's advocate. And I couldn't think of any, you know, negatives to it aside from one popped up. I mean, you played high school football, Deontay. So you understand how this rolls, right? Colin, did you play sports or just have any? I mean,
I played basketball mainly, basketball and soccer. I played football for 1 year, but
basketball size. I feel like that'd be perfect for you.
So
yeah, I should have been like looking back, dude. I should have played tight end. But
I can see that.
Just the idea of playing in a senior year and just think about the idea of not playing your senior year, like missing out on all those memories. You know, granted, we didn't do anything in our high school senior year. We went to the playoffs a few rounds. We got knocked out, got obliterated, absolutely destroyed, embarrassed. Anything you want to say?
By Garrett Gilbert. Remember Garrett Gilbert, Colin?
Yeah you told me this. You made the Elite Eight, right?
Last 18.
Quarterfinals.
So he's going to miss out on it. That's the only thing I think of the downside of it. You know, those memories that he makes with his teammates. But I'm sure he'll, you know, it'll make up for, you know, granted they do something when he goes to UT, doubt it. But, you know, there's that. Outside of that, I'm happy for him. Do your thing. But what does this mean for everyone else? Like, is he going to be the first one? Like,
it's going to be a trend. Yeah. What do you think, Colin?
I was going to say, it seemed like when you sent the article, because I hadn't seen it until you sent the article, it's just like, it does seem like something that was kind of only a matter of time until it happened. Because you saw dudes in college, like all across college football, opting out this year because of, you know, for the COVID season. You see guys opt, before that, it was guys opting out of bowl games. Mm-hmm. It's just, I don't know. It just seemed like it's not something that I had thought of as a possibility until today. But now that, like, it's like, well, yeah, I mean, I guess it was kind of only a matter of time. I don't know, man. I like Dane said, like, it's like, even like I played high school basketball, and like that senior year, like we weren't very good, but it was just fun as hell, man. Like it was just a really fun year. Mm-hmm. And yeah, like you said, like he's missing out on that. And also, like, again, I understand, like, you know, you don't want to get hurt. You don't want to risk getting hurt and everything, but like, it's all like you're missing it. You're skipping an entire year and then you're jumping a level.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, man. Like,
the doing preparation it from college, for it. Yeah.
Doing it from college to the pros is one thing. Cause like, if you're doing it, you can like, okay, if I want to skip my senior year of college or whatever it is, you're just immediately, you're going to hire an agent. You're going to hire a top level trainer. Like, you're going to be in like the best shape of your life. Like a high school kid. Like, I don't know. It's like, there's certain things about it that I would like personally, like be worried. Like, okay, what if I take this year off and these four guys just, they surpass me.
Yeah.
I don't know. I
think we're all in agreement. Like, I feel like that, I mean, Dane, like you explained, our senior year, man, we went to the state quarterfinals, and I'm not sure what Klein Kane did last year, but if they made a player or a playoff run or not, but I would just be dying, like missing that experience, going
that
deep
hunger,
with my, you know, yeah,
that
going
hunger, like
making that push with my teammates, the guys that I, you know, work with, sweated with, you know, fighting, and you know, I feel like that's the experience he'll miss, but I'm sure he's addressed that with his family and friends, and it's just different. And I think a lot of the times, and you know, we're going to see it a lot more, especially when we're talking about the NIL stuff. Like, things are going to change. People are going to go out and start trends. And of course, I don't think this will be the last guy. So, good luck. I guess that's all I can say. What's the Morgan Freeman, the Morgan Freeman clip?
Batman. When he said, you're going to bribe. You're telling me you're going to bribe him?
Good luck.
But it's also too. What do you think the What do you think the Texas coaches think of it?
Well, I think the Texas coaches are good. Like, even the fans, I've heard that, you know, they like that because, you know, there's no wear and tear on this guy. He's going to be good. He's going to be in
fresh legs.
You know, not that risk of, you know, getting a recruit that, you know, tore his ACL his senior year. Like, yeah. I feel like, I mean, and not all the time, like, this guy's only 195. So I feel like he's not going to be the every down kind of back. So I would assume, I don't know specifically, but I would assume they're happy with, you know, him just chilling. But all right, we got you on the team. Just work, you know, get better physically. It probably just telling him to eat weight or eat weights. Yeah, eat some weights because he's like 195. So shit. I don't know, man. That's what I think.
We'll see. Trendsetter? Question mark?
I mean, if it works for him, everybody's going to do it.
Yep.
If it doesn't work, then I don't think you're going to see it very much.
Yep.
And then you're gonna be the laughing stock again.
One way or the other. And now for...
What's that sound? No!
The Nerdy News segment brought to you by nobody. We need sponsors. Help us out. Sponsors. No. Dane.
What's up?
I'm going to mess with you. Because last time when we were talking about a trailer, you didn't see it. So I'm going to ask you, did you see the trailer for Eternals?
I literally just told everybody and I pleaded my case. I was busy working the last time a trailer dropped. I had no idea. I didn't even check the notes that day. I logged in and I winged it. And you know, you brought up the trailer. I was like, wait a minute. What are you talking about? I'm like, trailer. You play it, right? I looked at those and I was like, oh, there was a trailer today? So, you know.
I hit you with the intro music before you can explain yourself. Yeah, that was funny. Yeah.
Disrespected.
Colin, how much are, because we love the MCU. I know you watch movies from time to time. Are you like an MCU kind of guy? How do you feel about Marvel?
I like the movies. I have not seen all of them. I will say that. I leading up to Avengers, I've probably seen, what is it? There's like 22 of them, like leading up to the Avengers, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the I last saw.
Avengers, yeah.
Yeah. I think I probably saw like 12 or 13 of them. I didn't see all of them. But like, I am not like a hardcore fan, but like, I'll go watch them and it's enjoyable. Yeah. So is probably not the conversation for me, I'll be honest.
No, it's okay. It's okay.
I'm here for moral support.
Listen, we're going to hold your hand. We're going to walk you through it. Because, well, honestly, you're kind of in the same boat with us because...
Yeah, I have no idea what the hell is going on with this.
Yeah, this particular MCU movie is new to us. Like, we're not really into the comics for MCU like that.
Not for this, of course, particular guy.
Reggie Pitt. Shout out to Reggie again. He's into the comics for Marvel, and so when the movies come out, he's just excited because he's seen it, you know, read it. And so on November 5th, Marvel Studios is going to release Eternals. It's starring, man, this the cast is incredible. Let me pull up this cast real quick because...
Why are you doing that? I just want to say how blown away I am. The man or woman, they was like, they spawned water out of their hand and was like, grow plants that are, you know, inside this little crop. Like, so I'm like, all right, I'm going to watch it. I have no idea what they're getting myself into, but you spawn some water out your hand, I'm down. I'm there.
Yeah. Starring Gemma Chan, Richard Madden, Kit Harington, Salma Hayek, Angelina Jolie. It's like this cast is crazy.
Heavy
but
hitters, man.
What I find to be pretty cool, and like I always trust Marvel and their vision. I think I tweeted about how this trailer and how I feel about this particular movie is how I felt about Guardians of the Galaxy, because I really didn't know much about the characters because I didn't read the comics. But when I watched the movie, James Gunn and, you know, the whole...
Killed it.
Killed it from start to finish. And it was a movie that was probably one of my, well, not my favorites, but I like really enjoyed, you know, seeing it on
underdogs.
Screen and
team of underdogs.
Right.
Like, there's nothing more you can ask for.
Right. Colin, do you like have a particular MCU movie that is your favorite? I know we got the Avengers ones. This is the one that you like that like stood out to you the most.
Yeah, I always really liked the Thor movies. All of the Thor movies were awesome. I would probably say those string were my favorite.
Yeah, I think the first two were kind of slow for me. Like if I was like, I feel like it reminded me of like Shakespearean type stuff. Dan, could you like, how'd you feel about Thor? I like the third one, the Ragnarok one. Yeah. Cause,
well, I feel like the early ones, it was like I legitimately thought they were standalone movies for a while. Oh, and yeah. I think a lot of people did too. So it was it just didn't really get, I don't remember like at what point it was that it was like, oh, they're building, like they're all building to this. That I realized that, but
yeah,
I think I liked Thor because, I mean, we've heard so much about, you know, the Norse god of lightning. Sorry about that. The Norse god himself, like the whole lore behind him and Mjolnir, and I liked it. I mean, I know a lot of people didn't like Thor number one or number two because of how slow they were, but for the sake of character building, which pays off in the end, which we obviously seen in Endgame. I appreciated it a lot, but in particular, I don't have any gripes about Thor. I mean, he's a heavy hitter for Marvel itself, so he's always going to be cool dude in my book. I'll appreciate him. I'll say that. I'm not going to bash him like Deontay here, but, you know.
Well, what I do enjoy is, like, I feel like the movies or MCU in general is very good at, I mean, the story itself in general, but I feel like almost every casting they've had for a particular character has been perfect or near perfect. Like if you see like Captain America or like Chris Evans, like he's Captain America. Like even if you see him outside of the movie, like same with Robert Downey Jr., you felt like his character, he played it well because you think he's that character outside of the movie. And like, I've always enjoyed that. And I feel like with these movies coming up and projects, it's going to be a lot of the same thing. And like with the pandemic, of course, everything that happened with that was horrible. But like now that movies are coming back and shows are coming back, I had tweeted something about I said we're almost in June and we still have Loki, Black Widow, What If, Shang-Chi, Miss Marvel, Hawkeye, Eternals, and Spider-Man No Way Home all coming this year. Like that's like 9 projects that are still like on the way this year, like in half the year's left. So we're blessed, man. The nerds are blessed.
My advice to anybody is if you don't like something that Marvel's put out so far, I'd say just wait within the next 6 or 7 months. There's going to be a flavor for everybody. Certainly going to be a flavor for everybody. I'm hopeful.
And they're going to continue to expand. But Colin, bro, thank you so much for joining us, especially in between the cast, man. I know how that is like preparing for a sports cast and, you know, getting the lineup and blocks. You got all your blocks set up and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's kind of been a slow day. I'm in here. You're like, I keep looking over my
What's
shoulder.
The score? To see if What's the score?
It's 117-86 Miami. I keep looking over my shoulder to see if the Nuggets game started yet.
Yeah, we're going to let you out of here before the Nuggets.
We have played. There's 8 minutes left.
Oh, we can watch it through his on the screen.
Yeah, Milwaukee's up. They have 117 points with 8 minutes left in the
game. They're getting smashed. They're killing themselves.
How many threes have they hit? I got to look. Hold on.
Go ahead. It was like when we... At half, they had like, at the end of the first quarter, they had 10, right? Or was that the half? No, at the end of the first quarter, they had 10 threes.
They are 19 of 44 from three.
That's crazy.
That'll do. That'll work. That'll win you some games.
That'll win you some games for sure, man. Incredible. Yeah. Incredible. But, man, every time we have a guest, Colin, we like to give them the opportunity to shout out anything, talk about anything, to get to our listeners that tune in to the duo.
I would just say shout out to you guys, first of all, for having me on. Appreciate you.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate you.
Follow me on Twitter at Colin Deaver TV. That's like the one social media. That's like the one social media I do. I have the other stuff, but I'm not really like on them like that. Like I think like my Facebook and Instagram are pretty private. I cover El Paso sports pretty heavily. So if you're not interested in that, I'm sorry. I tweet about El Paso sports and the Nuggets. That's about it.
So. You know, but what's so cool about how Colin does his sportscast, man? Like he makes it so interesting. Like, he puts his own flavor on it. He does something cool. Like, it may not be every time, because I know that's tough to come up with creative stuff every time. But, Colin, man, I really appreciate when you do. I know you sent me some. I can't remember what it was in particular you sent me. But, dang, I can't remember. But I do remember you just tweeted the tease for one of your stories. And you bounced. Oh, you did the alley-oop for the player, KJ Lewis?
Yeah, KJ, dude. That kid's gonna be in the NBA. He's not committed yet. He's only a sophomore.
Okay.
He'll be a junior next year, but he's on he's number 21 on ESPN's top 25 for the class of 2023. So he's legit, man. He's like I'm like 6'4", 6'5". So that's his height. He's probably, I don't know, 40 to 45 inch vertical. That's a story I'm working on right now. I was out in Dallas this past weekend, like doing a huge feature story. Nice. So he's legit, man. I'm not putting this on him. You remember LeBron? I'm not saying this kid is going to be LeBron, but do you remember high school LeBron?
Yeah.
And how insane. He looked like he was 25 years old at age 17. Yeah. That's kind of how this kid, like, he looks like that old. I have to remember, like, okay, he's 16 years old. Because mm-hmm. like, you talk to him, you're like, oh no, you're 16. Like, you see him play basketball, he's like,
And it's funny, when I worked in the sports, like, it's kind of weird, like, covering those, not weird, but it's interesting covering those stories. You'd be like, dang, you're younger than me, and you could do crazy stuff that I can't do. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's always, like, interesting, and it was like an interesting dynamic, so to say, but.
Yeah. But, hey, look for that story. Follow me on Twitter if you want to be up to date on everything that happens in El Paso.
Yes. Gotcha. Perfect. I'm going to put your Twitter in the description of this podcast. So follow my guy, Colin. Appreciate you so much for joining us on the Duo Sports and Stuff podcast.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate you.
For sure. And you can listen to this episode on all digital streaming platforms or our website, www.theduosportsandstuffpodcast.com. We out.